Welcome to the Landmark Podcast. I'm Jason Calhoun, pastor of Landmark Pentecostal Church in Texarkana, Texas. We encourage you to visit us on the web at landmarkupc.net for a schedule of services and upcoming events. We pray that you are blessed by the message today. Thank you again for listening.
The sword that he had gotten from Goliath, and he placed it in the house of God that was at Nob under the supervision of the priest. And so I want to talk about those things tonight. I'm not going to be long, but I want to preach for the next little while by the help of the Holy Ghost, the spoils of war. The spoils of war. Praise God. I want to apply this in a spiritual sense here tonight. Would you again pray with me that the Lord would bless in our service and the remainder of it here tonight? Would you pray? Let's pray fervently. Jesus, I'm asking you to minister and move and work in this house. Touch the lives of people. Strengthen and bless the saints of God that are in this room this evening. I pray, God, for your great work to be done and accomplished in this place. We're in need of you, God. We're hungry for your touch, your spirit, your presence in this house. Asking you to have your way. In Jesus' name we pray. And let's once again worship the Lord by clapping our hands to him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. Psalms 124 and 4, David said, if it had not been for the Lord who was on my side. And I don't know what that verse of Scripture does for you, but it certainly inspires me. And we have all had, if it had not been for the Lord, moments in our lives. Does anybody agree with that? If it had not been for the Lord, first of all, most of us wouldn't be here this evening. If it had not been for the Lord, many of us would be dead already. If it had not been for the Lord, we wouldn't know what the joy of the Holy Ghost is. If it had not been for the Lord, there's many miracles that we would not have witnessed in our lives. Miracles of provision, miracles of protection, miracles of his supernatural power where the Lord stepped in, and sometimes it seemed like at the very last moment, and rescued us and took over in a situation that was spiraling out of control and ministered to our needs. And so we can all say, along with the psalmist, if it had not been for the Lord that was on my side. And then he said in Psalms 118 and 17, I shall not die but live and declare the works of the Lord. First of all, he said, I'm not going to die. I'm serving notice on the enemy that he's not going to cause me to be defeated. I'm not going to die. And second of all, devil, I want you to understand that I am not going to die with my testimony in me, but I'm going to get this testimony out of how good God has been, how many blessings that he has bestowed upon my life. And I am going to share it with as many people as I possibly can. I am simply going to declare the works of the Lord. Can I tell you emphatically here tonight, it's important that you not let your testimony die with you. Amen. Don't let your testimony just live on the inside of you, but it's time to share our testimony and declare the works of the Lord. You need to proclaim it, and I believe that it's a part of our living for God that we share the testimonies of the goodness of God and what the Lord has done for us, that we remember the miracles that he's given to us. I read somewhere that 90% or more of what has happened to you in your life on a daily basis, you will eventually forget. And I suppose that that is true, because though we may remember what we're wearing here in church tonight, we're probably not going to remember it a week or two from now. Now, ladies' memories on that may go a little bit longer than a week or two, But most of us are going to forget. My God, I forget from Sunday morning to Sunday night sometimes. I come dressed and I think, well, I didn't wear this tie in a long time, so I put it back on then and remember, well, you just wore that Wednesday night. And so memory doesn't last as long as we'd like it to, but it's important that our memory be maintained in at least one area, and that is the miracles that the Lord gives to us. We always need to rehearse them and remind ourselves of them and remember them. And I could spend a lot of time, and I suppose just about everybody here could spend a lot of time talking about miracles that have happened in your life. And what does that do? That builds faith, and that encourages us, that inspires us to ask God for more things. And it's been my experience that when we stop rehearsing miracles and stop remembering what the Lord has done and quit talking about it, those miracles will stop transpiring in our lives and in our midst. And I don't want that to happen. Amen. I know that we need a demonstration of the Holy Ghost, and we need a present day power and anointing in our lives and in our church. And I believe that one of the ways that we can do that, and I'm sure there's several other factors, but one of the ways that we can do that is to continue to talk about it, continue to rehearse it, and to tell it to somebody else that may have a need, and they may need encouragement, and their faith may need inspired, that the Lord can do it for them. And so when you talk about your testimony, don't feel like you're bragging on yourself. No, we're bragging on Jesus. We're talking about how good God is and how wonderful the Lord is, and we're really stating that if he can do it for me, I'm sure he can do it for you. And you can believe God and ask God just like I did, because God is no respecter of persons, and God will answer anybody's prayer that is mixed with faith. That's right. Praise the Lord. And so I think it's very important that we take the time to rehearse those things and talk about those things. We, if we're not careful, we'll be like those in Mark chapter 2 that was in the house where Jesus was, and there was a great throng of them that was in that room. And can you imagine the potential that was there, the power that was there, the advantage that these folks had that was in the house where Jesus was, in the very presence of the Lord, yet it does not indicate that they were accessing that power. They were not plugged in to the potential of that moment. They were not able to receive a miracle from God that no doubt many of them needed. It took somebody getting on the roof and ripping the roof off and lowering a man down to where Jesus was for a miracle to take place in that house. Sometimes we got to get out of the ritual, we got to get out of the routine, and we got to rip the roof off and let faith come in and say, God, it may not be as usual, it may not be the norm, it may not be how it normally takes place, but God, I want you to move, I want you to work, and I want you to have your way. I need a miracle. Praise God. Praise God. Somebody has to get unorthodox sometimes. Somebody has to rip the roof off sometimes. Somebody has to squeeze their way in and said, let me just remind you why we're all gathered here. We're not here just to hear good teaching and preaching. We're here to see a miracle and needs met and lives changed. And the Lord is in this house. And so it's important that we take advantage of this moment. It'd be a shame for us to come here tonight and just go through a 3-point ritual and all go home and nobody's life be changed and no miracles happen. Hey, we're in the presence of God. There's potential in this service tonight for somebody to receive a miracle. Oh, yes. Come on, let's give praise to him right now if you believe that. Sometimes you got to rip the roof off and let fresh faith come in. A new perspective come in. You can get stuck in the routine. You can get stuck in the way that you always do things. You can get stuck just accepting things that don't have to be. Sometimes we do. We get stuck accepting that, you know what, I'm going to have to carry this burden. I'm going to have to deal with this problem. I'm going to have to live with this situation, I guess, for a little longer. And we come and go from church, and the Lord stands ready to minister to that need. The Lord stands ready to touch in our lives and work things out for us. And yet we come and go, and we never receive it. Why? Not because the potential's not there. Not because God is not able. Not because the power is not available. It's simply because we don't have that fresh faith to reach in and to receive and get plugged into what God is doing. I say in this room tonight, somebody in a sense needs to rip the roof off and let fresh faith breathe into this house and somebody's heart be touched anew. Somebody be set on fire again. Somebody get your zeal back and somebody get your passion back and somebody let your spirit be revived in the Holy Ghost here tonight. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And so I think it's important that we remember our miracles and we rehearse them often. I can remember back in the days where I was really on a daily basis depending on the Lord to come through in situations of provision and providing for our family. And I think I told this story maybe not long ago, but let me just remind you of it again, and I never get weary of telling it because it really was a miracle. And the Lord answered a prayer. Even while I was praying it, the Lord was answering that prayer. And that's how immediate that God can work in our lives if we'll allow Him to do it. How many knows your prayer is powerful? And when you speak it and when you pray it and you have faith mixed with it, there's no telling what can happen. I believe angels can be dispatched and God can begin to move and a work can begin to happen that is beyond what you can see. And maybe God is moving over there in a person's life and you don't see the signs of it just yet, but don't discount God and what He's able to do. If you're praying, you know that God is hearing and you know that God is working. If you have faith, you know that God is going to come through for you. And so I was praying a revival had concluded and we was praying and believing God the cancellation of the next place that just a couple of days before it came through and didn't have anywhere to go really, and that revival concluded and there was a church down the road about 60 miles and I came to the church that evening after we had went out to fellowship at the restaurant, and that was the end of revival. We said our goodbyes. I went back into the sanctuary to pray and said, God, I don't even know where I'm going tomorrow. I don't know where, when we pull this trailer off the property, I don't know where it's going. I don't know what we're going to do. And while I was praying, the pastor's son come walking into the sanctuary. Now it's midnight. He came walking into the sanctuary and said, Brother Calhoun, don't mean to disturb you, but can I tell you that there was a message on our phone when we got home, and it was Pastor Thornton from down the road here, and they had a great service tonight. People received the Holy Ghost, and he announced revival service tomorrow evening, and he doesn't even have an evangelist, and wanted to know if you'd be willing to come and pick up revival with them. I said, yeah, I think I can. Amen. And God answered that prayer while I was praying. Maybe you've got something you need the Lord to provide for you. Maybe you got something you need the Lord to answer in. Maybe you got a work that you desire the Lord to do in your life. If you'll pray and if you'll talk to God, God is able to minister to that need. I'm talking about miracles tonight. I'm remembering miracles tonight. Maybe there's some of you that need to go down memory lane just a little bit and be inspired all over again and thank God all over again for the miracles that the Lord has done for you. I'll never forget, I was called to go pray for Brother Doc that is here tonight, Brother Doc Hunter. And he was in the hospital. You've heard me tell this story. And he was there waiting in the emergency room. And I mean, they had piles of people in there. And matter of fact, they had him off in another area because there's so many people there. And he was sick. And I mean, real sick, not feeling good at all. And bent over and pale and weak and had been sick for a few days. And I don't take credit for this at all because I have noticed that it's not just my faith that has to be activated. That person's faith has to be activated. And that person has to agree. And the Bible said, when any two touch any one thing, it shall be done. And we just bound together, us and the family that was there, and Brother Doc, we prayed, and he said, you know what? I said, I think I'm feeling better. And I mean, it was obvious when we looked at him that he was very sick and pale, and color was gone, but color began to come back into his countenance, his face, and it wasn't long until he said, you know, I think I'm feeling so good, I think I'll just go home instead of waiting here. And he walked out of the hospital. That may seem like a minor thing to you, but I'm going to tell you, God is concerned for our needs. He's concerned for us in our lives and answering our prayers. And it doesn't matter how minor of a detail it is to you. God, amen, if you'll lift up faith and if you'll pray and if you'll seek him, God will work and give you a miracle. God can take care of it, whatever the situation is. Oh, somebody ought to give him a shout of praise right now. Got to think about that trailer fire today, amen, and caught in that trailer fire. I mean, there's flames all around, and I couldn't get out the door. And when I tell this to this day, I see people kind of raise their eyebrows sometimes, but this is exactly how it happened. I looked off where the couch was along the back wall. I looked over to my left. There was no way that I could go to my right and go out the normal exit. I looked over to my left, and where the back wall and the side wall of that trailer came together at the seam, it was totally split apart like this, and I was able to fall right out onto the ground unscathed. I had a little scratch on my torso, but that was it. There was no extenuating problems. I could have been burned up in that trailer, but I'm telling you, God is a protector. He's a miracle worker. He's a deliverer. I didn't have a long time to pray about it. All I did is stand up on that sofa and say, Jesus, and Jesus provided a way, and he'll do it for you here tonight if you'll believe him for it. Does anybody remember some miracles that he's given to you? Praise God, praise God. Amen. It's important that we remember. It's important that we often rehearse. So I got to thinking along these lines about Bible characters. I got to thinking, I wonder if Abraham kept those ram's horns. You know, we seen a lot of that last night at that supper, deer horns. And I kind of got to wondering, when that miracle of provision came through and the Lord stayed his hand when he was coming down to slay his only son, Isaac. And God said, now I know, and didn't allow him to follow through with it. And said, lift up your eyes. And he lifted up his eyes and he saw the provision. And he saw the ram over there caught in the thicket by his horns. I wonder if he said, you know what? I may keep one of these ram's horns as a reminder that God is a provider. I sometimes wonder if Jacob ever went back to Bethel just to camp out and say, you know, it was right here. It was right here where I built an altar. It was right here that the Lord met with me. It was right here that the Lord changed some things for me. It was right here where I had a visitation from God. This is sacred ground to me, and I just want to come back every once in a while and visit it and be reminded of it and be inspired by it. I sometimes wonder if Simon Peter ever got in his boat and rowed out to where in the Sea of Galilee where he saw Jesus walking on the water and said it was about right here in this location where the Lord came to me in the midst of a storm and the Lord bid me to come to him walking on the water. And when I stepped out of that boat, it was the most awesome thing. I was able to walk on the sea. Amen. And when I began to lose faith, he reached out to me and we walked back to the boat together. That happened right around in this location because God is a miracle worker, and it's important that we remember the miracles that the Lord has given to us. You ever wondered if Paul didn't take a stroll down the Damascus Road and say, about this mile marker right here, I was headed with papers in my hands to persecute more of the church, and the Lord gave me a vision. I saw great light, and I heard a great voice come from heaven saying, it's hard for you to kick against my will. It's hard for you to go against the purpose of God for your life, Paul. And it was right here that conversion took place. The beginning took place in my life of what was to come. And God changed my life in that moment. Amen. I don't know if somewhere in a curio cabinet somewhere under light in his living room, if Samson didn't have that jawbone and said, you know what? Not only did it slay the Philistines and left their bodies heap on heap, but I also, when I discarded it and didn't care much about it, I had to go back and find it. And when I did, and I lifted it up and I needed a drink, it sprouted water, and I was able to get a refreshing drink of water out of this. This is something special. This represents what God has done. I wonder if Lazarus ever went back to the tomb where he had laid for 4 days dead and been resurrected, if he ever went back there and said, this is where I was, but when I heard the voice of the Lord, death couldn't keep me in the grave, and I received a resurrection miracle right here. I know that God is able to do big things. God is able to do great things. You got to have some things in your life that you can pick up and say, I know that God can do it because he's already done it. I know that God can do it again because he's done it in the past. I have power in my past to look back to. Oh, clap your hands and let's give praise to the Lord. I was reading about this success speaker by the name of Dennis Whatley. Some of you may remember, have heard him at times. But Dennis Whatley, one time he had an occasion to fly a speaking engagement that was in Los Angeles, and he was flying from Chicago. And he was late that morning getting to his flight. And he was hustling down the corridor, the terminal. And when he got to the gate where his flight was, just before he got there, they'd closed the door. But the plane was still there. They'd closed the plane door. And if any of you know or fly very much, you know once they close that plane door, it's like by the law of the Medes and the Persians. They're not going to open that thing back up. And he couldn't convince them, and he was furious. He was fuming. They said, well, sir, the only thing we know to tell you to do is if you don't like it, you can go down to the ticket counter and you can register a complaint. He said, I'm going to do exactly that. And so he stormed off, and he went down. And when he got down there, there was a big long line, as there usually is. And he was waiting, and the longer he waited, of course, the madder he got. And the more he began to fume, and the more he began to complain. And then suddenly, after waiting in that line for a long time, there was an announcement that came over the intercom system in the airport that stated that the flight that he was on had crashed in takeoff, and there was no survivors. Mr. Whatley said, I didn't register my complaint. He said, matter of fact, I took my ticket. I never turned it back in, didn't ask for any kind of refund or anything. He said, I took it home, and I pinned it on a bulletin board. And he said, every time I would get impatient, and every time that I'd get upset quickly, and any time that I'd get angry about something, he said, I'd look over there, and I'd understand that there's somebody's watching over me. There's somebody's taking care of me. Come on. You got anything on your bulletin board? Do you got anything that God has, you got anything on the magnet on the refrigerator that reminds you of what God has done? Oh, come on, we need to have more than a work schedule up there. We need to have more than the next doctor's visit up there. You need to have something that God has done for you in your house somewhere that reminds you that God is still a miracle worker, that God is still a healer. Praise God. Praise God. That word, remember, is 250 times in the scripture. It tells me it's important. The Jews know the importance of remembering. For every square mile in Israel has more memorials than all of Washington, D.C. Any square mile that you pick, if I understand it correctly, has more memorials than Washington, D.C. Can I just tell you, it's important. They understood the importance of not forgetting. When you get to the other side, build an altar representing from the 12 stones that you get out of the Jordan. You build an altar representing the 12 tribes that was brought through this Jordan River during the season of flood. Now, can you imagine? Most of us, we understand now after this past year what it is to see a flooded river. If you went down and you saw the Red River when it was raging, and then you maybe saw the Sulphur River when it was raging, you know what I'm talking about. And to see that the Lord had stopped that torrent and stopped the current of that river and let them walk across on the other side. All of Israel, all of them were able to walk over until they were clean passed over, the Bible says. And they didn't get bogged down in the mud, and they didn't have to traffic through all of that. No, the Lord provided a way for them to walk over on dry ground. That's a miracle, folks. And he said, you need to build a memorial for that miracle. And on through the scripture, we see this time and time again. Why is it? It's important that you remember what God has done for you. It's important that you have some spoils of war, and that you have some battlements from the victories that you won, that you bring home with you. That's right. Praise God. There was a prayer meeting that was taking place in Mary's house. Scripture says that Peter was in prison, and James had already been beheaded, and Herod had declared, as soon as this feast is over, we're going to do the same to Simon Peter. And you got to understand that Simon Peter was the initiator of revival in the book of Acts. This is a man of God that was leading the charge during that time, and it was going to be a real deflator in momentum if Peter was beheaded. And so the Bible tells us that they gathered in Mary's home, and they were praying, and they were seeking God for the deliverance of Simon Peter. And yet, as they were praying dutifully and out of obligation, no doubt, and out of love for Simon Peter, evidently there was not much faith that was really mixed into their prayers. Because when the knock came on the door, and Rhoda went and saw that it was Peter, she didn't believe it at first. But finally, when she was convinced, she went back and told those that were gathered there praying that he was in fact at the door. They said, you're mad. You're seeing things. We've been praying so long. You started imagining things. You've lost your mind, and you just need to go back to praying and just continue to help us pray. Don't get off track here. We got to keep praying. And that's the way sometimes we are. We're doing things out of duty. We're doing things out of obligation, and we're not mixing faith with it. And that's the element that we've got to have if we're going to see a miracle, if we're going to have revival, if we're going to see God come through for us. We can't just be coming and going and doing it out of obligation. But you've got to have some faith that what I'm doing works. And if I worship God, He'll bless. And if I pray, He'll answer. And if I show up and do what I'm supposed to do, God will show up too. Because His Word says, when you draw nigh unto Him, He'll draw nigh unto you. Oh, somebody lift up your voice and let's praise Him together right now. So I want to get to this text as I conclude tonight. David, as you know this familiar story, does something that nobody else in Israel at that time is willing to do, and that's confront this giant that has been railing on them and accusing them now for many days. And he simply believes that if I go down into that valley where this giant is, it doesn't matter that I'm a dried up teenager. It doesn't matter that I don't have any experience on the battlefield. It doesn't matter that I'm not trained like the rest of these fellas. The only thing that really matters in all of this is that I've got the Lord on my side. I got the same Lord on my side that helped me with lions and bears, and He'll help me with this situation. And so that's the confidence that I'm going in. That's the reason why I can head off down into that valley. Now, you understand that Saul tried to armor him up with his own armor, but Saul was bigger than anybody else in the land, and head and shoulders, a foot taller than anybody else. Brother Frank, good to have you here tonight. You're a foot taller than everybody else in this room, just about. Maybe exception, Brother Jay. Definitely bigger than me, praise God. And so big fella, and it tried to pull that armament on, and when it did, he felt clumsy and weighted down. And I read that the typical teenage boy in David's time, not in America today, but in David's time, maybe about 120, 125 pounds. And that's all. I mean, just a dried up boy. And so he tried all that on and said, man, I haven't proven this. This is going to be too awkward. I can't do it like this. This isn't going to work, in other words. You know, if I'm going to face this challenge, I need to face it just like I faced every other challenge. I need to do it in the name of the Lord. I need to go out there in the name of the Lord. I don't need to go in my own strength. I don't need to go in my own experience. I don't need to go in my own might, but I need to go there in the name of the Lord. Amen. Why is it when we're confronted with big things sometimes, we get to thinking that, well, you know, perhaps if I'm gonna get this done, or this miracle is gonna happen for me, or if God is gonna provide in this situation, then I'm gonna have to change my tactics a little bit. I'm gonna have to ramp it up. I'm gonna have to do something different. I'm gonna tell you, if it isn't broke when it comes to these things, don't try to fix it. I said, if God has provided and worked miracles and done it for you in the past, and there's a pattern here of victory, why would you want to change it now? Hey, prayers always work. Worship has always worked. Apostolic church has always worked. Freedom of the Holy Ghost has always worked. I'm not going to try to bottleneck God and find a new way. I'm just going to let God be God and do what He does best, because He knows best. Hey, if God has ever moved in your life, there's a pattern there that you can go back to and say, you did it this way then, you could do it again. Praise God. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. If you've ever seen Him heal, if you've ever seen Him deliver, if you've ever seen Him answer prayer, then you know that there's a pattern here that God works in. Amen. We often tell people that are endeavoring to be sensitive to God, hear from God, that if He ever spoke to you and you were certain that He spoke to you, that perhaps that's the way that He'll speak to you again, and you need to be sensitive to that. But we're always caught up in this deal of using a new thing. And David said, you know what? I'm not going to get caught up in that. I'm going to do what I know to do, and that's go in the name of the Lord. And the Bible, of course, says that when he stopped off that brook, he got five smooth stones and he hurled one of those stones in the direction of Goliath. And we can say, well, how articulate he was and how practiced he was and how good he was with his sling. But how many knows that God guided that stone to land right in the forehead of that giant, and it stunned him to the point that he fell? And when he fell, it was like a chicken on a June bug. I mean, he just ran over there and unsheathed that sword and he lobbed his head off. He said, I'm not going to wait, I'm not going to hesitate, and I'm not going to celebrate before I get total and complete victory. Sometimes we need to finish the job that God has started in our lives before we start celebrating too much. We start seeing God move, then we get off track and get caught up in the euphoria of the moment, when we need to follow through and say, God, you're not done yet, but I believe you started something here that you're going to fulfill, because you're the author and the finisher of my faith. And so, I mean, he's standing and towering over this giant. And the Bible says that he starts taking his armament off of his armor, which I read weighed. It tells you how much gold and how much silver and how much brass and all these things it was. And they weighed it all out. And it weighed 125 pounds and 15 ounces or 12 ounces. And so 125 pounds of armor. In other words, it weighed just as much as David himself weighed, or perhaps more. Can you imagine him lugging that stuff? He takes it all off, which took a little while, and he takes that head up underneath his shoulder and got it up underneath his arm here, and he's carrying it, and he's got all this armament. And the Bible says that he took the head, he took it to Jerusalem, because this was something that they did in these primitive times to show and give proof that they had in fact slayed the enemy. Here is the head of the one that was opposing us, the enemy. And he gave that to Saul and brought it to Jerusalem as proof that he had in fact slayed the giant. And then he took this armament back to his own tent and he placed it there, kind of like we do trophies. We put them in a case. He placed them there as a reminder of this great victory in his life. Now, I don't know if somewhere in that tent he had a bear hide. I don't know if he had a mount of that cat that he had killed. I don't know if he had all of that. But he had a place in his tent where he put this armor. And also it tells us that he took the sword of Goliath and he brought it to the house of the Lord and put it in the care of the priest, and it was wrapped in a linen ephod. Now all of this carries significance to me, not just that he took these things and kept them as trophies, but where he placed those trophies. And that's what I want to talk about just for a few moments here. First of all, I've seen a lot of people, they get victory at church, but they don't have much victory at home. Well, I can tell by your response there, that overwhelming emotional response that I'm feeling thunderously coming from the congregation right now, that I'm right on in the Holy Ghost. Oh, yeah, they could shout at church, and they should. Let me emphasize that. We haven't done a whole lot of it tonight, but I'm telling you, there's some people in the Bay Area tonight that's shouting, and I don't think we ought to let them outdo what we're doing here tonight. If they can get all excited about Broncos and they can get all excited about those things, I think we ought to get excited about a God that does not fail. A God that cannot lose. A God that is always victorious. Go ahead and stand with me. I'm just about done. I've seen people get victory at school and at church, but no victory at home. I've seen people get victory at church and at home, but when they get to the job, I mean, there's just no victory there. It's like it saps every bit of spiritual strength out of them, and they come under the influence of the things that are there and the influences of evil that is there on the job. But I think it's important, and I think we can see from this illustration tonight, it's important that you have victory in every place. That you have victory at church, and that you take that victory home with you. And that you take it not only home with you, but you take it to the job with you. Come on, if we're going to see revival, we need to be the salt of the earth on our jobs. We need to show forth the light of him that called us out of darkness into this marvelous light. We need to be a witness on our job of what God can do. We don't need to just be going with the flow and falling in with the group and laughing at the dirty jokes and going along with the program that everybody else is, but have victory on your job. So David said, I'm going to take this head. I've been employed by the king to do a job. I'm going to take this head. I'm going to take it to the place. If I could say it this way, I'm going to take it to those I work for. And I'm going to give that to them. But that's a sign of victory. And then I'm going to take the armament and I'm going to place it in my house. That's a sign of victory in my home. And then I'm going to take that sword with me to the house of God and I'm going to place it there. So everywhere I go in life, there's going to be victory. Whether it's on my job, whether it's in my home, or whether it's at the house of God, I can have victory everywhere. I got symbols of victory everywhere I go, that I've slain a giant, that I've got victory over an enemy, and I've taken it home, I've taken it to work, and I've taken it to, amen, to the church house. Praise God. That's so very important that you realize that. Some of you don't have a job. Maybe you go to school. Whatever the situation is and whatever place that life brings you to, you need to have something that you can look back to and say, God, I can have victory right here. I can have victory right here. I'm a champion no matter where I'm at. Amen. I'm able to overcome no matter where I'm at. The devil's not going to defeat me on the job. The devil's not going to defeat me at school. The devil's not going to defeat me in the hole. I'm going to have victory everywhere I go. So he parceled it out. And he said, everywhere I go, it's going to be a reminder that I'm a victorious person. And that's what we need to do tonight. You need to take it to the places that you are most and establish yourself there and say, I got dominion because I'm a child of God. I'm Holy Ghost filled. I don't have to blend in, fall in. I'm not just part of the rank and file around here. I'm a child of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I wonder if there's somebody that wants to take some armament away from this house. We're going to get victory in this place, but we're going to take it from this place to our job, to our home, to wherever we go throughout this week. If that's your feeling, I want you to come to this altar tonight. Come on, we're not going to take a whole lot longer, but I want everybody to come. I want everybody to get what they need from God tonight. I want everybody to receive all that they desire from the Lord in this house tonight.